So let's answer this question today. What does a godly mom look like? What does a godly mom look like? Well, the first thing she does is she does this. She's quick to recognize her inadequacies, and because of that, she has developed a dependency on God. She's quick. Somebody say quick. A godly mom is quick to recognize their inadequacies. And because they recognize they're inadequate to do all the things that God has asked them to do. How many know moms have a huge job to do? You know, sometimes, you know what, we'll get home and we'll finally get in bed and in the next day I'll say to Tamara, did you enjoy the foot rub that I gave you last night? And she'll say this, what foot rub? You didn't give me no foot rub. And I'll say, yes, I did. I rubbed your feet for like 25 minutes. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. I must have just fallen asleep. And I'm thinking, man, what a ripoff. She didn't even recognize it. But what happens is we get, you know what, ladies, there is an enormous amount of responsibility, an enormous amount of work. And listen, and many of the things, like, ladies, I think sometimes you can look at your list and just recognize, oh, my goodness, and just be overwhelmed with not only all the things you have to do, but with this reality of how in the world am I going to accomplish all these things? And the godly women, godly mothers understand it's not by might. It's not by power. It's by the Spirit, says the Lord. The Bible says, you know what, that some put their trust in chariots and some put their trust in horses. But you put your trust in God. You humble out and recognize, I can't do this. There's no way. I need supernatural help. Godly moms don't go in their own power. They recognize how important it is that they would go in the power of God. Does this make sense to somebody? James chapter 4, verse 6 says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud. But look what he does. But he gives grace to the what? To the humble. What's grace? Grace is God's supernatural ability to get things done that you couldn't get done on your own ability. Moms, you have some things that even today is things that are pressing on you. Things that you think, how in the world are we going to get this accomplished? Let me tell you, a godly woman, a godly mom says, I tell you how I'm going to do it. I'm going to recognize I can't do it in my own power. I can't do it in my own authority. There's no way I can do this by myself. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. This is Paul, and he's got what's called a thorn in the flesh, and it's so interesting because many people don't understand what Paul is saying. But let me teach it to you. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you." Now, what does sufficient mean? Yeah, what does sufficient mean? Sufficient. If I said, you know what? If you said, "Hey." I've got a bunch of rocks, and I need to borrow your truck to move those rocks. What if I said this? Hey, you got a truck? That truck is sufficient. What would that mean? That would mean that your truck is enough to get it done. And look what God tells his reply. My grace is, does it say sufficient or does it say insufficient? How many know sufficient is a different word than insufficient? Come on, somebody. How many know sufficient is a completely different word than insufficient? Can I preach to somebody? Can we come into the house today? And can we come into the house with the willingness to allow the Word of God to teach us?
Oh, come on. Amen.
I'm asking. You know, sometimes you ever get some preconceived notion of how it is? It's already conceived on how it is. And so no matter what happens, that's how it is. No matter, even if we do this with the Word of God. We've done this many times with Paul's thorn in the flesh. And we said, oh, God never delivered him. Whoa. See, if you're going to be honest, let's define what sufficient means. Sufficient means it's more than enough to get the job done. God's grace. Define what grace is. Grace is God's ability to do what you could not do by yourself. And look what he says. You know what? And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in what? Let's just define the words. How in the world do we read a passage like this and say that God didn't deliver Paul? Can I tell you how we say that? We say that because we were taught. Come on, somebody.
Come on.
Hello, is somebody here today? Do I need to start passing the cupcakes out first? I'm just asking. It's like, man, you know what? Ronald, are these people asleep or what's going on here? What does sufficient mean? Sufficient means it's enough. How in the world can we read this passage and think that God didn't deliver the Apostle Paul from his ailment? I tell you how we do it. We do it because that's what we came into it with. We had a preconceived understanding and we didn't. Listen, you are in trouble. I'm in trouble. We're all in trouble when we do not let the Word of God tell us what is. Amen. I'm just asking you, look at it. Look at it for yourself. Look at it with the fresh eyes. Look at it with a fresh understanding. Ask God, or just ask yourself to look at it, what it says. How many of God's word is true?
Yeah.
Look what he says. And God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My supernatural power can get this thing done, and he can do it for you. He's talking. He's responding. No, this can get it done for you. And look at the words. Therefore, look at the words. For my strength is made, what's the next word?
Perfect.
For my strength is made what?
Perfect.
For my strength is made what?
Perfect.
Perfect. What do you think perfect means? How in the world do we get imperfect out of perfect? I can't tell you how many times I've heard preachers preach this and just ignore the words that are said there. Amen. He says, for my grace is sufficient for you. It'll get it done. With the very thing that you're asking, it can happen because I have this supernatural ability to do it for you, Paul. And then he says, for my strength is made perfect in your what?
Weakness.
In your weakness. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, because, see, therefore, because God says this to me, that's what he's saying. Because God said this to me, let me tell you what I'm going to do. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, watch this, that the power of God may rest upon me. That the power of God, Paul is saying, God's power rests upon me. He glories in his infirmities. Why? Because when he will humble out and recognize he needs help, then God's supernatural power, we just read it. God resists the proud. But God gives more grace to the what?
Humble.
To the humble. Paul's saying, man, what I start to recognize is every time I recognize my inadequacies, my weaknesses, my jacked upness, what I start to do is I start to recognize that I can't do this by myself. I humble out. God gives more grace to the humble, and guess what? all of a sudden, there's this perfection that takes place in my life. Amen. Come on, moms. How many recognize this is true? And there's been times in your life that you have humbled out and recognized, I can't do it. Even Jesus said this. He said, I of myself can do nothing. Well, did Jesus do nothing? Mm-hmm. Jesus did all kinds of things. See, the beginning of supernatural is the road of humility. The beginning of supernatural is the road to humility. The road of getting nothing done is the road of pride. The Bible says pride comes before a fall. You know what? When I look at godly moms, you know what? Here's what I see. I see women that will humble out and recognize, I need God in my life. I can't accomplish this. This is too much. That is a godly trait, number one. Number one. Number two, watch this. She's beautiful inside. No. That's... I got two for you. I don't have two for you here, but I got two for you here. Number two. Somebody say number two. And just ignore what this says on number two. Number two, she recognizes her importance, and she realizes that she's doing a good job. Listen to me. She recognizes her importance, and she realizes she is doing a good job. That's a godly woman. She recognizes she's doing a good job. Now, how many know this? That sometimes ladies are aware of the string or the wire. What's the string? What's the wire? The string is on the wire is this thing that God has made you like this, and it's a wonderful trait. But everything is connected together. Somebody say everything is connected together. So you get up in the morning and you're having it starting to be a good day, and the living room looks nice, the dining room looks nice, you know what? Even the garage looks nice. It all looks nice. You know what? But you're making the eggs. And as you're making the eggs, you know what? I'm not saying that this doesn't happen in my house, because it happens all the time. The dogs start to fight. Or the dogs, we have dog drama come in our house sometimes. And the dog drama takes us away from the eggs. And we come back and the eggs are burnt. See, and so the string connects everything together, and so, you know what, it doesn't make any difference that the kitchen's nice, and the living room's nice, and the garage is nice, and even the son has the right shoes on, amen? Like yesterday, he had like one sneaker and one dress shoe on, and how he got to school, I don't know, but that's what happened. But godly moms recognize that their job is important. And they recognize this. They're not ignorant to Satan's devices. How many of the Bible says, don't be ignorant to Satan's devices? They're not ignorant to Satan's devices, and they recognize this. Think about it for a second, ladies. If your job is important, and I'm telling you it is, then what is Satan going to try to do? He's going to try to take you out. Listen to me, ladies. If we looked at the arsenal of the enemy, I believe so much of the arsenal would be directed on moms. Why? Because they play such an important role. Tamara was sharing with me, just talking about Mary and how important she was and some of the quality traits that she had. And then she shared this, and it was so awesome. She said, you know what? Mary was responsible for the Son of God. But how many know God put you in stewardship? And what he wants you to do is be such a good example that you're raising up sons and daughters of God. Is that important? Listen, this role is critical. And so what does Satan want to do? Well, one of his main tactics is discouragement. So he uses this string, and even though this is good in your life, and that's good in your life, and this is good in your life, and this is good of your life, you know what? If 8 things are going good and 2 things go wrong, Satan wants you to focus on what's going wrong. Come on. Ladies, can you say amen to this? But what godly women do is godly women understand their tendencies to do this. They're not ignorant to what's going on in their life. How many know we need to be recognized weaknesses that we have? And godly women understand I have that tendency, but it's too important. I got too many little eyes on me. I got too many little feet on me. I got too many people that are dependent on my example, and I can't just sit out the ball game. I can't do that. I got to stay in the, I can't allow Satan to take me out. And let me tell you, godly women, he'll take you out if he can. Here's why. Because your position is so important. It's absolutely critical. Amen? So what you do is godly women recognize that everything in their life doesn't have to be perfect for them to have a good day. Amen? They're smart to recognize, oh my goodness, this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong, and I burnt the toast, and you know what? And the dog bit the other dog, and so now I got to go to the vet. Whatever all it is, but it is what it is. How many know life happens? Amen. But what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to allow Satan to take my joy away. I'm not going to, no. I'm going to meditate on that which is good. Amen. Ladies, how many know you got a lot of good things going on in your life? Amen. Godly women, how many recognize you got a lot of good things going on in your life? Come on, ladies. I need some ameners with me. Ladies, how many know there's a bunch of good things going on in your life? And you got to make a decision. I'm not going to let nothing. I'm not going to let no devil from hell get me out of the game. You know what? You got some of the most powerful people on the face of this earth. And you know what? And Satan will try to take you out because he knows. No. Godly women, godly mothers recognize, yeah, this is wrong and this is wrong and that's wrong. But let me tell you what's right. This is right and that's right and this is right. And let me tell you one thing's all right. God is good to me. Amen. And everything in my life isn't perfect, but God is good. And they recognize that. And because they recognize that, you know what? You don't hear them complaining all the time. You don't hear them grumbling all the time. You don't hear them upset all the time. You hear them humming. You know, the other day, I think Megan or Shayla, I forget what it was, but Granny was in the house, and she was just and Shayla and Megan said, Granny, what are you humming? She said, oh, no, I'm just humming. How many know that's a lot better than complaining? Yeah. Ladies, understand your positioning. Your positioning is so critical because you can lift up the whole house. How many know ladies can lift up the whole house? And let me tell you about strong women of God. That's exactly what they do. And they understand. They've got a tendency to, can I teach this for a minute? Because she's like, oh, that's not a good tendency. No, it is a good tendency. This, you know what it is? What am I looking for, Tamara? It's a attention to detail. You know what it is? You know what God put that in you? Because it's the nurturer in you. It causes you to be a really good nurturer. I mean, your son went to school 3 days ago with one dress shoe and one tennis shoe, and your husband was all happy. You know what I mean? He's like, hey, they got to school on time. Is that not right? And they were happy. They were really, oh, it was good. Yesterday they were late, but today I made sure they were on time. You mean? And you're like, oh, that's good. Until you saw your son come home. Right? And he came home. He's got one good shoe, one tennis shoe. See, listen. It's that nurturer in you that pays attention to those details. But godly women recognize that the front-sided strength has a back-sided weakness. The front-sided strength has a back-sided weakness. And they're aware of that back-sided weakness. And they're not ignorant to Satan's devices. So they're very conscious of not allowing Satan to discourage them, to take them out of the game. Amen. Ladies, how many can say amen to this?
Amen.
Okay. Man, just smile, okay? And make sure you pay attention to your son's shoes, okay, when he gets out the door, okay? I'm just saying. Okay, let's see what we have on point three today. Okay. Yeah. This is good. Point three. She recognizes time is short, and she enjoys spending time with and developing a close relationship with God. A godly mom recognizes, how many know you only have so much time? Come on, how many? Yeah, no amens on that. How many know we only have so much time? Listen, if you're not sure about that, just look at your kids. Amen?
Oh, there they are.
I remember it seemed like it seemed like 3 weekends ago, Tamara and I were, what hospital was Shayla born at? Kaiser. Bellflower. See, I told you detail. They know that stuff. But I remember, listen, I remember driving her home. I remember like it was 3 weeks ago. How many know it wasn't 3 weeks ago? How many know Shayla was the one up here doing the announcements today? Oh, my goodness. Listen, our time is short. I know how old your kids are. Maybe you have kids that are 8. Maybe you have kids that are, 2. Maybe you have your kids that are 12. You know, I don't know how old your kids are. But moms, listen to me. Those times are, you will blink your eye and they'll be driving a car. Amen. I cannot believe. You know what? You know what? Megan said, "Hey, Dad, teach me to drive. Teach me. I want her to drive." I said, "Okay, honey." She was like, "Oh, yeah, let's go out on the street." I said, "We ain't going out on the street. We're gonna go right out in the church parking lot, and we're gonna drive around the parking lot." You know what? It's a true story. And she got in the car and she started to go. Oh my goodness, I was freaked out. I mean, no, listen. This is the one, you know what, that I remember when she was, you know what, learning to walk. Here's what I'm saying, ladies. Godly women of God, time is short. So what you've got to do, what godly women do, is they recognize the shortness of their time, and they recognize what's really, really important. And they spend time. Somebody say spend time. See, they spend time developing their relationship with God. How many know, you know what? I remember when Tamara, when I used to work in the grocery store, and I've told you this story before, but I worked in the grocery store, and you know what? If I worked an 8-hour shift, they would make us take a lunch. I didn't want to take a lunch because I wanted just to work through my lunch and come home an hour early, but they made us take a lunch. They took the lunch, and where do you go? I don't know, where do you go? You know, you go to Taco Bell, you go to Burger King, you go to In-N-Out, you know what I mean? You go, well, we didn't even have an In-N-Out. Praise God, if they would have had an In-N-Out, I would have been happy. But you know what? Go to Subway, you know, Subway, oh, welcome to Subway, you know what I mean? Go to Subway, and, right? And you know what? And so what do you do the next day? You go to In-N-Out, or you go to Subway, you know, you go to Jack in the Box. It's like, ah, you know what I mean? After a while, it's like, ah! You know, and then I'd come home, you know what? And I'd see lasagna. Fresh made lasagna. My wife makes a zucchini lasagna. This, oh my goodness. But on my lunchtime, it's true story, I just want to cry. I just go, I don't want to eat another burger and fries. Ah! Listen, how many know time is short? And you need to invest that time with God. You need to recognize that you only have so much time. And so godly women, godly mothers, prioritize and they recognize, if I'm going to really minister, I have to spend time with God. Is this making sense to anybody? Number four, she shows how important God is in her life, so she does everything she can to model it. In front of her family, and she does her best to make sure that they are in church. And she does her best to make sure they are in church. How many know moms that your kids are not going to do? I don't mean to be negative, but can we be real? Can we be real? How many know moms, your kids aren't going to do what you tell them to do? Can I tell you what they're going to do? They're going to do what they see you do.
Amen?
They're going to do what they see you do. I remember this is so true. I remember, you know what, when I was working with Pastor Bradford, Pastor Bradford's church. Pastor Bradford was like 6'4", big guy. You know what I mean? Big, thick guy. You know what I mean? And during praise and worship, Pastor Bradford sit right in the front row. He'd always have this seat right here, and he'd put his hand. He wouldn't put his hands like this. You know what I mean? Wouldn't put his hands like this. He'd always put his hands like this.
Oh, come on, there it is.
And I even remember Pastor Bradford would kind of put like two fingers and his thumb up like this. Majesty. Worship His Majesty. I remember, I saw that. Well, I remember one time I was worshiping God. And for whatever, you ever sometimes kind of you're aware of what you're doing? And I remember just being aware of what I was doing. And I was sitting on the front row, and I was like this. I was like, who does this look? Oh, my goodness. I'm doing Pastor Bradford right now. And then it was funny because then I remember Walter. I remember looking at Walter worshiping. Gil worshiping. David worshiping. This is all our staff. David worshiping. We had seen it hundreds of times. Can I tell you what? Ladies, I remember just the other day, I remember sneezing. I remember I was in the barn, I was lifting up that thing, and I sneezed, and I said, oh my goodness, that was my dad's sneeze. I heard my dad sneeze, but it wasn't my dad, it was me, amen? What am I saying? Here's what I'm saying. Ladies, godly women understand that what's so important isn't to tell your kids what to do, it's to show your kids what to do. Does this make sense to anyone? We looked at this, I think, just last week. And whatever you do in word, and whatever you do in word and deed, do it all in the name of the Lord. In word and deed, or deed. Do you see this?
Yeah.
See, it's whatever you're doing. It's, listen, your words and your deeds are the same thing. They're not different. I'm not telling you, don't tell your kids what to do. I'm not telling them, don't tell your kids to be godly. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying, don't just tell them what to do. But tell them what to do, and then model it for them. So they see that, you know what's really going on. Because what you don't want to do, and what godly mothers don't do, is they don't tell their kids to do something and then act another way. How many know that's very ineffective? I said, how many know that's very ineffective? Amen. Number five. She loves to see others around her flourish. She loves to see others around her flourish. Let me tell you about godly moms. One of the things that they really, really love is when their kids are flourishing. And not just their kids, when just people around them flourish. They just love to see other people flourish. Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians, "For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. And this also we pray that you might be made complete." Paul is saying, I don't care what I have to do. What I care about is when you're flourishing. That's what a godly mom will do. She doesn't mind. She doesn't, you know, she'll stay up late. You know what? We used to love these teachers in school. Sometimes we had these teachers in school, and they would give our kids these projects. Oh, God, help me with these projects. And it would just tick me off, because I think these, you know what? I mean, you'd go in there and see this volcano and this, you know what, and this, all this stuff, you know what I mean? But like, don't tell me that 8-year-old did that volcano, you know what I mean? You know, mom and dad did that volcano. You know, the 8-year-old was outside, you know what, trying to figure out his shoes, right? Right? So, you know what I'm going to say to these teachers? Why you do all this stuff? It just puts more work on me. You know, and I remember time after time after time, you know what, Tamara would be up late at night, and what's she doing? She's working on the project, amen? Amen. But when the kids got an A on the project, you know what? Guess what? You know what? Tamron had to go up and say, "Oh, look what I did. This is my volcano." Come on. No. Godly women love when when their kids are flourishing. And they'll stay up late, and they'll get up early, and they'll do whatever it takes to make sure it gets done, because they love when their kids flourish. They love when other kids flourish. They just have this godliness inside them, and they just love when other people are doing well. Godly mothers do this. She's quick to let things go, knowing that hurts can easily build up over time and create strongholds that can become extremely ugly and destructive. Remember that string? Remember that wire? No. Godly women recognize that they've got to be quick. You know what they do? They're really smart to recognize, to allow the Word of God to minister to them. What does the Bible say? You know what? Let not the sun set on your anger. And I've taught you this before, but let me teach it to you again. This is not saying if you get in a fight, you know what, at 11 o'clock in the morning, you're like, "Well, praise God, the sun don't set till, you know what, till 6 o'clock. So I got, what's that, 6, 7, that's 7 hours, you know what I mean? I'm all, you know, be ticked at you for 7. Ladies, that's not what it's saying. It's saying, you know what, here let's do. What a godly woman does is she's quick. Listen to me. She's quick to find her fault in the situation. She's quick to find her fault in the situation. You know, most arguments, you know what I mean? Almost all arguments, almost all fights are not. It's 100% his fault, and it's no percent her fault, or vice versa. It's no fault of his and 100 fault of hers. Amen? You ever get in a fight with your husband or wife? Oh, yeah, I didn't get in. No, amens on them.
Pastor, what are you talking about? Can't you see the halo on my head?
Come on. You know what? And a lot of times it's like, you know what? Yeah, let me tell you. You know what? Yeah, I did that. But let me tell you what she did. Yeah, I did that. But let me tell you what. Here, this is classic. I wouldn't have done that if they wouldn't have done this. I do this because you do that. No. Let me tell you what. Godly women say this. They think to themselves, what part did I play in this argument? How did I act ungodly? What words? Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. You ever been in a fight, you know what I mean? And man, you said some slingers, amen. Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Okay, here. What about this one? You ever got in a fight and it was right before you were going to work, amen? And on your way to work, you're thinking, I tell you what, I'm going to say, oh, ooh, that's a good one. Ooh, I'm going to remind them of that. I'm going to tell them that. I'm going to, ooh. And all of a sudden, you listen, and you get all happy when you remember something. Hello, somebody. You get happy about it. You say, ooh, I can't, I'm going to tell them that on my break. I'm going to call them on my break. Amen? How many know? Come on. How many know godly women aren't doing that? Godly women are recognizing that they married men that are carnal. I'm just here, just like water. Come on. Let it soak in a little bit. Soak in, Pastor. I knew that the second you said that. I knew that before you said that. No, I know you know that. What I'm saying is godly women recognize, you know what, that the man that they married, you know what, is all jacked up. Pastor, when are you going to start to tell me something that I don't know? I know, I'm getting there. Just give me a second. They recognize that. But here's the thing. They recognize not only do they marry into imperfection, but they are imperfect. And they're quick to not look at the imperfection in their husband. They're quick to notice the imperfection in themselves. Ladies, how many know you cannot? You cannot. How many know you can't fix your husband? Yeah, come on. How many tried? Amen. The pastor, I've been trying for 38 years, and you are. That is true. That is absolutely true. That is a true statement. Our pastor speaks the truth. You can't fix him. But you know what you can do? Listen, this is the truth. You know, you can be example to him. You know, maybe your husband isn't even saved. Maybe he is. But whether he's saved or whether he's not, you know what the Bible tells you? The Bible says, by your gracious, good attitude, by them seeing how you act, they can come to the knowledge of God. What are you doing? You're modeling for them. You know what? You're quick to recognize, oh my goodness, what I can do with this fight is I can make a whole mess of it. that is going to, I'm not ignorant to Satan's devices. I recognize that what I've got to be is quick to take my responsibility for my part. What I've got to do is I've got to not focus on his boneheadedness. Ladies, on his boneheadedness. But what I, and let me tell you what, and I know we have godly women who do this, you know what, all the time. They're quick to not focus on their husband's wrongs, but they're quick to focus on what part they played. And listen, ladies, you might only play, you know what, he might have done 75% of it. He might have started it. I'm just asking, what do you do when your four-year-old says, but he started it? What do you do to them? Amen. See, how many recognize that's a childish way to think? And listen, and godly women, they recognize, I can't think that way. I can't act that way. Listen, to whom much is given, much is required. You say, Pastor, but this is, you're talking about husbands and wives. Yeah. But husbands and wives, listen, moms, listen, wives. How many know you're not only a wife, many of you, but you're a mother. And you got two beady little eyes looking at you. Some of you got four beady little eyes working at you. Some of you got six beady little eyes at you. And some of you are about to have eight beady little eyes looking at you. Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. That's the truth. And what you need to do is recognize, listen, I can't allow my flesh to take control. Because next thing you know, my flesh is taking control and I have modeled the very wrong thing in this household. Ladies, let me tell you what, you are incredible influencers. And I salute you. You know what? You know, every this is the truth. Every bite of your cupcake, you know what? I want you to say, you know what? My pastor loves me, my pastors love me, my church loves me, and my church is proud of me. Because even though there's nobody in this house, there's no mother in this house that has done every one of these points perfectly. The truth is, many of you have done these points very, very well over and over and over again. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
One more thing. Oh, man. Yeah, one more thing. Moms. Moms do a lot of things. They pick up socks. They pick up rooms. They pick up donuts. And they pick up kids from school. Moms make beds. They make cakes. They make pies. They make omelets. And they make burritos.
Yeah.
And they make us smile. They remind us to brush our teeth. They remind us to do our homework. They remind us to clean our rooms. And they remind us to be kind to others. Moms do a lot of things. Moms clean kitchens. They clean cars. They clean houses. They clean churches. And they clean behind our ears. They wash dishes. They wash dogs. They wash hair. They wash faces. They wash windows and they wash window sills. Moms do a lot of things. Moms teach us how to walk. They teach their sons how to tie their shoes. And they teach their daughters how to put on their makeup. They teach us how to love God. And they teach us how to forgive. Moms do a lot of things. Moms buy groceries. They buy shampoo, they buy laundry soup, and occasionally they have been known to buy for themselves a pair of shoes. Moms kiss boo-boos, they kiss their kids before they go to bed, they kiss their husbands when they come home to work, and sometimes they kiss the burnt dinner bye-bye. Moms love fresh flowers. They love hugs from their kids. They love when their husbands do something around the house. Most of all, moms love their families. Moms do a lot of things. Moms try to make us feel better. They try to help us with our homework. They try to be a good example. Moms do a lot of things. But most of all, moms do their best to act like Jesus. If someone, and we'll only keep you for a couple more minutes, but this is really important. So if somebody would like to, you say, Pastor, I don't know God. I'm far from the family of God. I want to be a Christian. I don't know God. With every head bowed and every eyes closed. With every head bowed and every eyes closed. With knowing that this is important for you to do before God. And with me letting you know, I'm not going to embarrass you by pulling you up on front of the stage or asking you to come and say a prayer with you. I'm asking you, if you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, if you want to become a Christian, if you want to invite Jesus in your heart, I want you to just slip up your hand right now. And I'm going to ask, and we're going to ask, yes, I see that hand. Who else? You can put your hands down. Yes, I see that hand. Who else? Yes, I see those hands. Thank you. You can put your hands down as soon as you put them up. Who else? Yes, I see that hand. Anyone else? Yes, yes. Thank you. I see that hand. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask Jesus into our heart. And Jesus is going to come out in our heart, and he's going to change us from the inside out. Can you pray this with me? Jesus, I ask you into my heart. Forgive me for all that I've done wrong. I believe that you went to the cross to die for my sins. Make me new inside. Change me from the inside out. You are the one who tells me what to do from now on. And I am happy to do it. In Jesus' name I pray. Now, amen. That's a good prayer. Amen? Amen. If you pray that prayer, we're so proud of you. Find a good Bible-believing church. It might even be this one. And start coming to church every Sunday and Wednesday and watch what God will do in your heart. Now, one more thing real quick. If something that is said with nobody closing their eyes, nobody bowing their head, but if God spoke to you some way in one of these things, you said, you know what, and maybe you're a mom, maybe you're not a mom. How many know God spoke to all of us today in these points? Something that was said, you know what, God was speaking to me. I want to pray with you. I want you to raise your hand right now. Yes, 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 all over the room. Father, quickly, get up your hands. Father, you see these hands that are up. Help us, whatever it was, whatever point it was, maybe it was many points, help us to be an example for other people for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen, amen. Okay, let's see. So two more things, really important. If you're here for the first time, we have a special gift for you. When you go out the double doors, my daughter talked about, make sure you grab one of those bags. If you would be so kind to fill out that connection card, it'll help us. We want to call you. We won't bother you or hound you, but we want to call you and just connect with you. It's really important, okay? And then make sure every mom don't leave without taking a cupcake, okay? Every mom don't leave without taking a cupcake, amen? Okay, and dads, if I see you with a cupcake, all right. Last but not least, you know what? If anyone, we're dismissing everyone in a minute, but if anyone wants to come up to the front and wants to be prayed for, you know what? We have people that will be up here, and they will pray with you personally. So if you want to come up to the front, just come up to the front, and we'll have people up front praying for you. What else was I going to say, Tim? Okay, yeah. Can you guys come on up? Laura, can you come on up? And these will be up front, and they'll be praying for you. If they have people in front of them, just stand there and be patient, because we'll pray for everyone. Amen? Hey, moms, really, I mean this sincerely. We have a church with a lot of ladies who are just doing an awesome job with their families. And we are just continue to thank you. Keep up the good work. Don't grow weary in doing good.